Please take your copies of God's Word and turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29. The fifth book of Moses, or the Pentateuch. Deuteronomy 29. And I'm going to read the first verse, and then we'll read the last verse of the chapter. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 1. These are the words of the covenant that the Lord commanded Moses to make with the people of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant that he had made with them at Horeb. So here is Moses, and he's at the end of his ministry. And the Israelites have traveled to Moab, so they're almost into the promised land. And of course, Moses will die, Joshua will take over and lead the people in to conquer. And here, in this chapter and in the surrounding chapters, Moses is reminding the people of the covenant that God had made with them at Mount Sinai, or he refers to it here as Horeb. And of course, that included the Ten Commandments and all of the law of God. So the moral law, the judicial law, the ceremonial law. And these things God said, these are my laws for you. I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. So after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, they're about ready to go into the promised land, and Moses reminds them of this covenant, and he urges them to enter into it. In other words, live it out, practice it day by day. Now the final word of this chapter, Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought us to the start of another year. And we know to you that another year is nothing. You are the eternal God. There's no change in time for you. But our God, you know very well that we are creatures of time. You have made us within time. We're told by your word to number our days. So we follow the years and the months and the weeks and the days. And as we look back, we thank you for your mercies. And as we look forward, we plead with you that your mercies would be new every morning, that your faithfulness would be proven day by day. We thank you that you are a God of faithful covenant love. We pray that you would help us as we open up your word this morning, to consider what you said to your ancient people and what you would say to us today as people who hold precious your word. We ask that you would draw near to us by your Holy Spirit and teach us and guide us and help us as we would make this year in a new way, a year to live to your honor and glory. So we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it's a pretty normal practice to stand at the beginning of a new year and wonder what's going to happen this year. This morning in our earlier service, as we reflected back, there were a lot of things that a lot of people reported. Some things very encouraging and some things that are hard. And so we stand at the beginning of this year and we wonder, what's 2022 going to hold? We might even wonder, in another year's time, will we all be sitting here worshiping the Lord? Or will this be the year when you or I are called by God to join Him in heaven? A lot of things we don't know. We do acknowledge that the last couple of years have been pretty crazy. And we've experienced things that we thought we would never know here in Canada. With COVID and government regulation, our lives have been anything but normal. In fact, we haven't had what used to be a normal Lord's Day for almost 2 years. In our families, many birthdays and celebrations have been skipped over. Vacations have been mostly become staycations or abbreviated versions of what we used to have. So what's 2022 going to be like? Will there be a return to what used to be normal? Or have our lives been permanently altered? Will we make major strides in taking up the business of Christ Church again? Or has our cloistered environment become a new normal to us? Will there be a fresh determination to walk with God through this year, something that should not be impacted by whatever changes are going on in society? I don't know what time of year it was for Israel when Moses stood before them here in this chapter and gave them this challenge. But we know that there must have been a lot of questions about the future. Moses was at the end of his ministry. He was concluding his exhortations to the nation while they gathered in the plains of Moab just before entering the promised land. Having been delivered from slavery in Egypt, they'd wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. The majority of those people who had come out of Egypt had died in the wilderness, and a new generation had grown up. These were the people who would be led by Joshua to conquer the land of Canaan. So, there must have been questions. What would their experience be like in the coming year? Would they know the blessing of God as they claim that land that the Lord had promised to them? Or would they experience His anger because of disobedience and rebellion? When you read through the entire chapter that we haven't taken time to read this morning, both of those possibilities are set before them. The possibility of great blessing, as well as the possibility of knowing God's anger for disobedience. Now that was a unique experience for Israel. But the issues are similar to what we face today. There is uncertainty before us, and things can go in different directions. What can we know about the future, about this coming year? And how will we contribute to the forming of our own experience? Well, I want us to seek to glean this morning from Israel's story. And may the Lord grant a firm confidence in what God has in store for His people. Two basic things for us to consider this morning as we draw them out of Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. First of all, there are things that we cannot know because they are the Lord's secrets. There are things that we cannot know because they are the Lord's secrets. Now, I think we all know what secrets are. Remember being a kid, it was great fun to have secrets. And often at Christmas time, when you had a toy that maybe you didn't want to share with your brother or sister, you would hide it, and it would be your secret. As adults, we have secrets. Often people don't want to tell you their age. It's a secret, or especially how much they weigh. That's a secret only you can know. Sometimes we have secrets about things that we've done that we don't want anybody else to know about. I think we would probably all say that we have secrets, things that nobody else knows. But no man or woman or child truly has a secret because God knows everything about us, even the thoughts that fill our minds. Remember David's well-known words from Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. What a humbling reminder that there's nothing about us, nothing in our minds even, that can be hidden from God. God knows us in every part of our being. We can't truly have secrets as human beings. But the same is not true of God. For he has secrets that we know nothing about. There are depths in God about which we have no clue. You may remember God's well-known words spoken through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What a difference, what an incredible span between God and his thoughts and his ways and us and our puny little thoughts and ways. When Job and his friends were discussing God and his ways, Job described God's work in this world. He stretches out the north over the void and hangs the earth on nothing. He binds up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not split open under them. He covers the face of the full moon and spreads over it his cloud. Behold, these are but the outskirts of his ways, and how small a whisper do we hear of him. Here's Job and his friends, and they're trying to understand God. And Job speaks of the mighty works of God in the wilderness, in the universe, and in the world. And he says, these are just some of the outskirts of God, sort of like the hem of his garment. We haven't even reached to all of the reality of who God is. The fact that God has secrets, that there is much about God and his ways that are mysterious to us, this is part of what makes God, God. This is what should make us stand in awe and wonder at his greatness, which is so far beyond our ability to grasp. The wise man of Proverbs says in Proverbs 25:2, it is the glory of God to conceal things. It's part of the glory of God to have secrets. This is the essence of what makes God, God. It's part of his glory, part of what makes him so highly exalted above man. And even when God is pleased to reveal things to us, they are often beyond our comprehension, and we struggle to understand what God is saying. Remember these words of the Apostle Paul, a great doxology at the end of Romans 11, when he's taken us through the gospel and the doctrine of salvation and how God is pleased to save some and pass over others. He says, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. God has secrets that we cannot know. And even when he divulges a little bit to us, often it blows our minds. We can't really grasp all that God has done. Well, what are some of these secrets that God alone knows? What are some of these secrets that God alone knows? Well, we can say from the scriptures that one of God's secrets is his providence. The providence of God. How God is going to direct the course of history. Providence is one of God's secrets. Just think of the experience of Israel. Even as they were standing there receiving these words from Moses, as they look back over their history standing on the border of the promised land. 40 years before, they had experienced an incredible escape from Egypt. God had come to them in their slavery, and he had rescued them. And he had shown his might and his glory in Egypt, and he had sent his awful judgments, the plagues, to make the captors release the Israelites. And they had come to the Red Sea, that body of water that seemed to hem them into their enemies, and God had split it apart so that they'd walk through on dry land. But when Pharaoh and his army tried to cross it, they were destroyed in those waters. They traveled through the wilderness with nothing to eat or drink. But God had provided for them for 40 years manna from heaven and water from the rock. And for those 40 years, their clothes and their sandals had never worn out. Imagine, year after year after year, you don't have to go and buy new clothes, because they're as good as new, and your shoes too. And God had ordained all of that. Now, who could have predicted a story like that? Who could have, living in Egypt, said, well, this is what's going to happen to us over the next 40 years? They couldn't, because providence is God's secret. He may reveal it little by little over time, but at the beginning of that time period, when you say, what's going to happen? We don't have a clue. Our history will most likely be very different than their history. But standing at the beginning of 2022, the events before us are as unknown as what the Israelites were going to experience. But they're not unknown to God. God knows everything that is going to happen to us in 2022 because he's planned it. He's already ordained it. As David would write again in Psalm 139, in your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. So in a sense, David is telling us God has a diary book for every one of us. And the diary begins with the day of our birth, and the diary ends with the day of our death. And every day in between is all written out. Because God has planned our lives. It's not a secret to God, it's a secret to us. But God already knows the joys that will mark your life in this coming year, and he knows the sorrows that you will go through. He's planned it all in his inscrutable wisdom. It's his secret. Another thing that the Bible tells us is a secret of God, his salvation. The salvation of God. The people that God is going to save and enable to persevere through 2022. So we think back over this history that we've read from briefly in Deuteronomy. We acknowledge that the history of Israel can be very confusing. These were supposed to be people who confessed to belong to God, to be the people of God. They'd entered into this covenant with God at Mount Sinai. Moses was again urging them to enter into that covenant. They were a new generation. As Moses spoke to them here on the plains of Moab, he urged them to agree to that covenant, to commit themselves to that covenant. It was to be the mark that singled them out as the one people in all the world who belonged to the God who had created all things. But as their history would go on to prove, not only had the previous generation perished and died in the wilderness because of their unbelief, but the generation that entered into this land flowing with milk and honey, many of them would turn away from serving God to follow the idols of the nations that they would conquer. It makes you wonder, is there any certainty to God's salvation? Is God really winning a people for himself who are going to persevere to the end? Well, we can say with certainty, because the Bible tells us, that God is saving a people for his own glory out of this world who will prove to be faithful to their dying breath. But it is one of God's secrets. God knows exactly who his people are, while it's often unclear to us. The Bible identifies God's people as his elect, those whom he has chosen out of all the nations of the earth. And as surely as he has predestined them to salvation, he's also determined that they will one day be glorified in the very presence of God. The Apostle Paul summarized this truth in that golden chain of salvation we're so familiar with in Romans 8. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Now when you follow through every link of the chain, Paul speaks in past tense, as though it's already accomplished, because that's how certain he is, that all those whom God has chosen, all those whom he has marked out for salvation, all of those people are one day going to stand with him in glory. Now, brethren, that should be a great encouragement to us as we go into 2022. Because it can often be discouraging in the church to see people come and go. Some people come, they make a profession of faith, they're baptized, they enter into membership, and we rejoice with them at what appears to be their new life in Christ. Only to be greatly disappointed when they turn and walk away. And we think, well, I thought they were Christians. I thought they'd been changed. It looked like they had new desires for God and new desires for his word, and they wanted to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we don't see them anymore. And we hear perhaps that they've gone back to the world. And we think, what of salvation? But God has his people. It is his secret. And he is not going to lose any one of them. The Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, his second letter to Timothy, probably just before he died, And when you read through 2 Timothy, you know that Paul was experiencing all kinds of problems. Timothy was experiencing problems, and he warned him that the problems in the church were only going to get greater. In the midst of all of that, Paul said, "But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are His." Now, we may not know, but God knows. It's His secret. And so He's never surprised by someone who comes and then turns away because they were never part of His people to begin with. There are many other secrets that God has. We don't have time to consider them all this morning. Just a couple of things for you to think about. One of the secrets that we would like to know is, what's the reason for sin? Why do I sin every day? Why is that the case? And then going beyond that, behind that, to say, well, where did sin come from? And how did it originate? If we understand that it began in the heart of an angel in heaven, we'd like to know that. And it's one of God's secrets He doesn't tell us. Another one of God's secrets, we think it would be helpful if we could understand the purpose for many of the trials that we encounter. We read through the scriptures and we see people experiencing trials. And sometimes it's because they've sinned and God is disciplining them. But many other times, there's been no sin involved at all. It's simply been God's purpose, either to mature them or to do different things, accomplish different purposes in their lives. We would like to know that. When we experience difficulty and trouble, we would like to sit down with God and say, okay, please, will you help me to know why I'm experiencing this? If you're a faithful Christian, one of the things you'll be doing is, Lord, search my heart. Is there sin causing this? Is there something in my life that you've pointed out that you need me to deal with and repent of? And then maybe you don't find any big issue and you think, well, why is God doing this? Why has He allowed this to come into my life? And like Job, we might never know. It's God's secret. Another secret that many professing Christians are very curious about is, when is Christ coming again? When is the end going to be upon us? When will Revelation come to its conclusion in our experience? And we'll see Christ coming with the armies of heaven. When is that going to happen? Many people have guessed and they've been wrong because their dates have come and gone. It's God's secret. Jesus tells us nobody knows but the Father. And so we have to leave these with God. These are God's secrets. And like the boundaries that He has established for the oceans, He says to us, this far you may come and no farther. And we have to simply stand and adore and own the fact that God has the right to be God. So here, as we stand at the beginning of 2022, we acknowledge that there are many things that we don't know. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But that leads us, secondly, to consider this truth. There are things that we do know because God has told us. There are things that we do know because God has told us. Now, as Israel stood on the borders of the Promised Land, wondering about the future, what their experience would be like as they followed Joshua into Canaan, there are many things that they didn't know about because they were God's secrets, what would happen to them in the land. But there were also many things that they knew because God had revealed these things to them. The purpose was not that they would simply be full of knowledge, knowing a whole bunch of things and bragging about that. God had revealed certain things to them so that they would do them. Look at Moses' clear words here in verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. This covenant that Moses was urging them to enter into was a revelation of God's will for them. It was things that they owned now. They knew these things. But the purpose was God wanted them to live and serve Him in the land that He had prepared for them. Now we're in the same situation. God has revealed many things to us. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can confess many glorious truths that God has opened to our understanding. This, as well as with Israel, is not so that we can go around and brag about how much we know. God's intention is for our practice. All that we know by way of divine revelation is meant to impact our living day after day. So, what are some of the things that we know that should impact how we live through 2022? We've got a lot that God has given to us. We've got a Bible that God has given to us. What are these things that we know that should impact our lives as we go through this year? Well, first of all, here's a very, very important one. It's at the top of the list for an important reason. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved. Here as we stand at the beginning of a new year, our concern shouldn't be simply, how are we going to make it through this year? The big question ought to be, am I ready, are you ready for eternity? This year will be followed by another year, and then another year after that, and before long, the years of our lives here are going to turn into eternity. And as the Bible tells us so clearly, in eternity, your existence is going to be fixed forever in one of two places, either heaven or hell. And the only way to escape hell and be certain of eternal life in the presence of God is through the good news of Jesus Christ. What is that gospel? Here at the beginning of this new year, let's briefly remind ourselves of this good news of Christ. Here's this simple message. Repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be forgiven by God from all of your sins, and you will be given the gift of eternal life. It's that simple. It wasn't simple for God. He had to give up His Son. He had to send His Son into this world and watch Him eventually hanging on that cross and pour out His wrath upon Him. It wasn't simple for Jesus, who took up that commission from His Father and came into this world. Some of you were reminiscing this morning about those little babies you held in your arms, to think that the Lord Jesus was just like that. The God through whom the universe had been made, willing to humble Himself to become a little baby, to grow up as a child, a young person, then a young adult and a man, to minister among sinners, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And the gospel message is simply, trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn away from your sins in repentance. Lay your soul upon the Lord Jesus for forgiveness and for this wonderful gift. Repent and believe in Christ, and the gospel can be yours, and the hope of eternity can be yours. And of course, we need to remember that in those simple words of the gospel, the words of invitation from our Lord Jesus, the words of condition from our Savior, repent and believe, are always given in the present continual tense. In other words, it's not just something that you do at the beginning of the Christian life when you're converted. It's something that is to mark all of your life to the very end. So you repent at the beginning. You look at your life. God opens your eyes and you see how wicked and sinful you are, how black your heart is, and you say, Lord, I confess my sinfulness to you. Will you forgive me and cleanse me? But that's not the end of dealing with sin. Every day after that, you have to keep repenting. You have to keep confessing. You have to keep bringing your sins to God, often with the complaint, oh Lord, when will it be over? When will I finally be done with sin? So you have to keep repenting, and you have to keep believing. You have to follow up the repentance with believing, because you know it's not the strength of your repentance, it's not the strength of your confession that brings forgiveness before God. It's that you're relying completely upon Jesus Christ. You've rested your soul on Him. There's no other trust. You're not trusting that, well, I'm coming to church every Sunday, that's going to get me in. I'm reading my Bible, I'm praying, I'm seeking to do good works, that's going to... No, none of that. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved. And brethren, if we're going to end this year worshiping the Lord, trusting in Him, we'll only make it through this year as we stay focused on the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of our sins and trusting in the Savior. It's one of the things that God hasn't kept as a secret. He's revealed to us that we might know it and live by it. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved. What's another thing that God has revealed to us that's very important for our daily living? Well, it's this. Holiness is what God wants in the lives of all His people. Holiness is what God wants in the lives of all His people. What is holiness? Well, holiness simply is a life that is separated unto God. So, you used to be over here in the world. You used to live for the world. That used to be the environment that your whole life was part and parcel of. And God in salvation has taken you out and He's separated you for Himself. A life of holiness is living that life of separation. A life separated unto God. A life that takes the Bible seriously and seeks by God's help to live it out every day. That's what Moses was urging the Israelites to do. Here are the things that God has revealed to you. They're part of this covenant. They're for you and for your children, that we would do all the words of this law. Well, how are we going to do that? How are we going to live a life of holiness that God wants, demands in the life of His people? As He says, be holy as I am holy. How do you do that? Well, you've got to study your Bible continually. This book has to be your greatest friend as you travel through life. It's got to be with you all the time, every day. In the bulletin, I made a suggestion about Bible reading and some Bible reading plans that you can get that often will be very helpful in keeping you regular in the Scriptures and accountable. If you don't have something like that, get one of those and follow it. Not to assuage a guilty conscience, but because you know you need God's Word. As the Lord Jesus said, quoting from Deuteronomy, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We need to be feeding on the Scriptures every day. We make sure we get our physical meals. We don't often skip them. The greater priority should be our spiritual meals. Getting into the Word of God, learning about God, learning about what His will is for us, and following that up by daily communion with God in prayer. Reading the Scriptures, and then taking what we've read and turning it into communion with God, and asking God to help us to know Him better, asking God for grace to live out these things that we're finding in the Bible. Holiness is going to include a conscious determination to take the things that we have learned and live them out. So this past year, 52 Sundays, at least 52 sermons, if not more. How much of that is marking our life now every day? How much of what we're taking in is being lived out in how we speak and how we think and how we act towards one another? We were reminded this morning about our studies in Colossians and going through COVID in Colossians 3 and what God wants for the church. How much of that are we conscious of week by week as we come into this place? Living a life of holiness is going to include a commitment to the church of Jesus Christ, believing that this is the special place of meeting with God. Not because this building is grand and glorious, we're thankful for it, how suitable it is for our worship, but it's not this building that makes our worship worthwhile. It's not the man standing in the pulpit, or the people sitting in all of the chairs. We don't make worship glorious. We don't make this place a special place. This place is special because God chooses to dwell here when we, the living stones, gather together. He's pleased to make this His holy place, His spiritual temple, where not the animal sacrifices are sending smoke up to heaven, but the praises of God's people that emanate from our hearts are going up to the Lord, and He smells them as we offer them through Christ. And He says, oh, it smells so good. A life of holiness is going to be a life committed to gathering as the church of Christ, knowing that it's His special meeting place, knowing, believing that these are means of grace, as the Puritans used to call them, means whereby God gives to us all that we need for daily living, so that we go from this place with new infusions of grace, ready to live for Christ day after day. Brethren, that's one of the revealed things that God has given to us. The reminder that God desires His people to live lives of holiness. And a third and final revealed truth that I would remind you of: blessing in the Christian life is conditioned upon obedience to God's Word. Blessing in the Christian life is conditioned upon obedience to God's word. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. I want to make sure that no one goes home not understanding. I know you've been listening carefully to the secrets and the things that have been revealed. Listen carefully now at the end so that you don't go home misunderstanding. We believe in a God of grace. We believe in a God who blesses us when we don't deserve it. In fact, every blessing that we ever receive is a gift of God's grace. When we finally arrive in glory and we stand around the throne of God, we won't be patting each other on the shoulder. What a great job you did living the Christian life. We'll take our crowns and we'll cast them at the feet of the Lord Jesus, because we'll know better than we've ever known that we're there because of what Jesus accomplished. We can't pat ourselves on the back. We believe in a God of grace. And we believe in salvation by grace. We don't earn God's favor. We don't earn the forgiveness of our sins. We don't gain heaven by personal effort. It's all a gift from God. Jesus Christ is a free gift. We just receive Him through faith. We come, as we often say and sing, with empty hands to receive from God what He offers. We believe in grace. But the Bible also shows us clearly that blessing in the Christian life is conditioned upon obedience to God's word. Now, in our minds sometimes we think, how do those things go together? If everything is of grace, but blessing is conditioned on obedience, how do we put that together in our minds? And God says the important thing is not understanding how you put those things together. It's that you hold both to be true. We believe in grace, and yet we believe that blessing in the Christian life is conditioned upon obedience to God's word. How do we know that? Well, we know it because of the powerful example of Israel. Here they are, Deuteronomy 29:29. They're standing on the plain of Moab. They've had all of the experiences coming out of Egypt and coming through the wilderness, and they're standing on the borders of the promised land. And God says, here's my word. Here's the covenant. Here's the things I'm revealing to you. Do these things and you'll know blessing. So go on and read Joshua and read Judges and read 1 and 2 Samuel and read the Kings and read Chronicles. And when the Israelites obeyed the covenant, God blessed them incredibly. Think of the reigns of David and Solomon. Their names echoed around the world. Israel became this great nation that people looked up to. People traveled from the ends of the earth to discover the wisdom of Solomon. And when they got there, they saw that silver was as common in Jerusalem as the stones, the pebbles on the street. God had blessed His people incredibly when they obeyed His word. But when they disobeyed, the nations around Israel would look at her and say, why has God done to her what He's done to her? And people, the Israelites, were so fearful of their enemies, they couldn't even live in their houses. They would run up into the mountains and live in the caves. Why? Because obedience in the Christian life is conditioned upon obedience to God's word. But not only the history of Israel, the clear testimony of the word of God makes this true. Hear these familiar words from Psalm 1. Blessed. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. What's that telling you? That obedience in the Christian life, that blessing in the Christian life, is conditioned upon obedience to God's word. And then not only do we have the history of Israel and plain statements like Psalm 1, we have the words of Jesus. Remember our Savior as he gathered in the upper room with his disciples before he went to the cross. And he let them know that there was coming a time when he was leaving. He wouldn't be with them physically. He would be there by his Spirit. They could still have a relationship, but he was going to be gone. But this would be crucial. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. How do we get blessing in the Christian life? Abiding in Christ, his words abiding in us, and practicing those things every day. Dear brethren, there are many things that we don't know as we enter into 2022. Secrets that God has kept for himself. And we stand and we adore, we confess he's God. But there's many things he's revealed to us in his word. Not merely to fill our minds, but that we should live them out every day. And bring glory to him, and then receive much blessing from his hand. What do you want for 2022? There are things that you have no control over, but there are things that you do have control over. And those things, you take the word and say, Lord, give me grace to live for you. Give me grace to walk with Christ. Give me grace to be faithful every day this year. And may he be glorified in our lives. Let's bow together in prayer.